Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hi, this is Real Stories and I am your host, Tanya Communication Doctor. Now, today is going to be a little bit different for Real Stories because I'm quite excited because I've been having a look through my messages from my podcast and there's been a lot of requests to hear my story. And because I'm going to do it myself, I'm not going to get anybody to interview me. I'm just going to talk openly about my story or an aspect of my story because there's so many different parts to my personal story. Now, I often tell my guests to dive deep. So I'm going to relate that to myself because I always talk about being authentic and being my true authentic self. So today on this podcast, it's about Tanya's real stories. And I've decided to do it a little bit differently. So I've decided to call the title of this podcast, Music is Healing. And I'm going to take on a bit of a journey. It's a bit of a shame that I can't actually play some of the tracks to you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk you through some of the lyrics and also talk you through some of the feeling of the music and the journey of my life. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to look at is my journey through music. And I can't not look at Bob Marley, because Bob Marley is one of my heroes. I thought he was an amazing activist. I love his music. My family are Jamaican, so I come from that Jamaican background. And I really love reggae music. So reggae is up there. I mean, I love lots of different types of music, but reggae is up there and Bob Marley is up there. And one thing I love about Bob Marley is his lyrics, his truth, and the feeling. But one of my favourite songs, and I think it resonates with me, is "One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. Hit me with music. Hit me with music now. Hit me with music. Hit me with music." That really gets to me, and every single time I hear Bob and I hear that track, I am hit with music. Now, the first time I was hit with music was when I was 7 years old. I can remember it actually really feeling the music and discovering my love for music through dance. So at 7 years old, I started dancing. I went to dance class. I did tap, ballet and modern. And that's where my love, or my first love for music, was really born. And my connection with music and my connection with being hit with music was born, as Bob Marley says. Now, I'm just going to fast forward to my first time that I started dancing when I went to college, because I studied performing arts. So I did performing arts, so dance, drama and music. And my strongest was dance and drama, because I really connected with just that, being able to release and being able to be myself through dance, and also being able to connect with the feeling of contemporary dance. So when I was 16 and I went to college, I was introduced to contemporary dance for the first time, and I was introduced to Graham, which was based on Martha Graham's technique and also Horton's technique. And there was a lot of contract, release, contract, release. So whenever you dance, it was quite staccato with regards to the movement. but it was very strict in terms of the discipline, in terms of getting to know your body with regards to posture. And it was really interesting way of moving, looking back then, because I did dance and I did do ballet and I did modern and jazz, when I was growing up and I went to regular dance classes. But I'd never done contemporary, so it's a totally different way of moving. So when I was younger, I used to love MC Hammer, Hammer Time, and love all that street dance. But I also would then switch and go to ballet class, and I'd be dancing to Tchaikovsky. Now, I loved ballet, but I was embarrassed that I did ballet at the time, and I didn't really tell my friends. I knew I did dance class, but I didn't tell them I did ballet because I didn't think it was very cool at the time. But I also had that love. So when I went to university, it was a bit of a surprise for some people when they saw that I could do ballet. But I really connected with the movement and the dance. But also I really wanted to connect with black dancers, the black experience, black modern dancers, because I knew a lot about street dance and I loved Public Enemy, I loved MC Hammer, I loved Bobby Brown, all that sort of music growing up. But I wanted to connect with modern dance, and I remember watching Ulysses Dove and Bill T. Jones for the first time. And it was a piece, it was on TV. And Ulysses Dove and Bill T. Jones, it was a cast of black dancers. I think it was Alvin Ailey's dance company that were performing, and the choreographer was Bill T. Jones and Ulysses Dove. And I was just blown away. And it was the first time that I saw modern dance. And I remember going into college, and, I was asked, who was your favourite choreographer? And most people would be saying at the time, because we were learning about Graham and Merce Cunningham and Horton technique. And if you were a ballet, it would be Matthew Bourne. Or if it was more traditional ballet, it would be Tchaikovsky. And I was like, no, I want to identify with black modern ballet dancers. So I said, my favourite choreographer, and it was my favourite choreographer for that time, was Bill T. Jones. And as I got to know his work from that point on, I fell in love with his work, and I fell in love with his energy, and I just fell in love with the edginess of it, because it was edgy. And it was movement that I'd never seen before. And for my dissertation, I talked about the black dancer's body, because what was interesting was you could see the difference in the bodies within modern dance and the way that the black dancers would move and the shapes and the movement. And it was modern dance, but I just really connected with it, and my love for dance grew. I also had a love for art at the same time. So loving ballet, loving modern dance. One of my favourite artists at that time as well was Van Gogh. And from a young age, I started to realise that connection with Van Gogh. And as I looked at his work and studied, I found it fascinating that he went through what he went through in terms of his mental illness. And what I found really fascinating was, as he was in a home, and all the work that we know of Van Gogh, of the tiny little dots that he does, that all happened when he was in a mental home. And he was sectioned, and as we all know, he cut off his ear. He committed suicide, and he was in a real terrible state. And then I realised how powerful art can be in terms of being able to express yourself, whether it is through art in terms of painting, or whether it is through dancing and connecting. So that became a part of my life. So I'd always have a fusion of being able to dance, also using poetry and connecting as an artist. And that was where my creativity and my love for creativity just grew and grew and grew. Now, I'm talking about my life through healing of music. So I'm gonna move a little bit further forward, and I'm gonna refer to the track No Better Blues. Now, a lot of you would have seen the movie, but the track of the first one. Do 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 do. And the music changes throughout, so it's the same loop, but with different instruments. And I really connected with it. You'd hear the sax, then you'd hear the trumpet, then you'd hear the bass, and the same track would be looped over and over again. But it was just so powerful, and I just connected with that track. And I remember doing a solo for that piece, and it was just my way of expressing myself and finding a sense of self, and also just releasing and connecting with the floor as also, because when you do contemporary dance, there's a lot of movement that you do on the floor. So you connect with dance on the floor, and then coming up again and going down again and coming up again. And one of this solo, it was quite interesting. It was actually partly for an exam, and I was a bit cheeky because it had to be 1 minute. And I hadn't rehearsed the solo. I just picked the track. And on that day, I went in, I performed the piece of music, I performed the dance piece, and I didn't know how it was going to start or how it was going to end, but I just decided that I was going to relax. But I told a fib and I said, you know, that I'd choreographed it, but I hadn't really choreographed it, I'd just danced from the heart. And I remember getting a distinction for that piece that I did. And I remember telling my friend at the time, Michelle, I said, you know, Michelle just said, I knew you did that, Tanya. I just felt it, because I felt it. And it was actually more powerful that you didn't rehearse it, or more powerful that you didn't kind of pre-choreograph it. So I suppose I probably did choreograph it, but I was just choreographing it through improvisation at that time. But then again, I just discovered that I could do that, that I could just improvise, that I could walk on to a stage, to a piece of music that I love, and just express myself. And I'm not currently dancing now, because that was my life up until the age of 28, because I'd had an injury, so I pulled my Achilles. I stopped dancing professionally, and then I went into teaching and became a teacher. So I went into becoming a teacher later in life, and also really connected with drama. So as I fast forward, as I keep saying, what I really connected with was being able to express myself. Now, I'm going to talk about another time, but I can't talk about this time without referring to travelling to Taiwan. So I think it was 2006, around that sort of time. I was in Taiwan, who was my partner at the time, but I spent a lot of time on my own. And I remember visiting Buddhist temples, just different Buddhist temples. I'd get on the tube, their tube, whatever they called their tube, and just go and discover new places. And I would look up before I went, you know, I'd look up on the map where I was going to go. And I thought I'd just visited museums and temples. And as I visited temples, what I found really fascinating was that the Buddha was there, and they were just, people were going, they were just putting food, they were giving the offerings and food. And I wanted to learn more, because I didn't know anything about Buddhism. So I wanted to learn more about it. And I remember meeting an Australian lady, and she invited me to come and to do a meditation group. And that was my first experience of meditation. I also feel that as I started meditating back then, I really connected, and I went through a little bit of an awakening in terms of deciding exactly what I want from life and where I want to go. And I remember buying myself some Buddha beads and feeling really connected, because I felt very alone, because I was there at the time and I was on my own. And I felt very alone, because I come from a very big family. So it was a very different experience for me. And I also liked reading at the time. What was I reading? I remember I was reading The Four Agreements by Paulo Coelho, and he's also the author of The Alchemist, because I remember reading that, but I read that a little bit later. And as I started reading his work and learning about self-development and looking at myself and connecting with the universe and meditating, I really discovered the power of mindfulness. And also at the time, as I said, of my Achilles, it affected my dancing. So I was looking for a new way or something new in my life. And I knew also that my path would be different. So I didn't really understand the book intensely, but what I got from it at that time was your purpose is unique to you. And it's about understanding what your purpose is, what your dreams are. And also, it was also about understanding the law of attraction, especially in The Alchemist, because the law of attraction helps you to understand your sense of self and the fact that the universe is supporting you to live your dreams. And I thought, my God, is it that simple? But then I realised over time that, no, it's not that simple. You have to believe it. You know, with the law of attraction, you have to believe what you believe to get that support. So at the time, I didn't really know what that meant. And I didn't even know what my dreams were at that time. But I knew that I wanted to have children. And what was really interesting was when I came back and I was, I came back to my house. I remember in the house at the time, because I was in a house of my own. And I was painting in my garden. And I remember painting a picture of myself with dreadlocks, because I always wanted dreadlocks before I had them. And I painted a picture, it was all in watercolours, of me and palm trees. So I pictured myself in the Caribbean with a daughter and a son. And I drew the daughter as older. So the daughter in this picture would probably look around 8 years old, and my son was slightly younger. Now this painting, I've still got it today, and I drew this painting, I think it was the summer of 2008. And it's so powerful because it's just proved the power of vision boards, because when I come back in 2010, I had my first child and I had a little girl. And in 2012, I had a little boy 2 years later. I'm not in the Caribbean yet. but it was just really interesting, the power of visualization, the power of art, the power of connection, and the universe supporting me to do whatever I want, to live my dreams. And I started to believe that this is really true. So as I move on from that, I also decided that I'm going to use this to help other people to do vision boards and to do paintings and so forth, and to kind of help people to get back on their paths and to understand how the law of attraction works. And then also I remember reading The Secret amongst, you know, many other books, and then, you know, Louise Hay, Heal Your Life, all of those books. But it was the beginning of my connection. Okay, now coming back to the music is healing aspect of this podcast, I'm just going to move forward a little bit more, because what's quite interesting, I got quite excited because I have had some questions. And one of those questions that I had was, it's a question I couldn't hear. When you're having a great day, what is a kind thing that you do for yourself? So I'm going to answer that question as well. Looking at music, one of the kind things I do for myself is I play India Arie's video. And I'm going to give you some of the lyrics from this track. So for those of you that don't know, sometimes I shave my legs and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul. And I so connect with that track. And I love it and I listen to it when I want to feel empowered, when I want to feel a sense of self, when I'm feeling judged as well, when other people are judging you for whatever. You're thinking, hey, I don't really care. I am who I am, you know. I've got out the house with no makeup. I don't care. This is who I am. You're going to love me or not love me. But what's important is I'm connecting with who I am and feeling empowered. by playing that track and by dancing around the house. And I really love India Arie's music because of the power and the spirituality of her work. So that is the answer to that question. I also find it really interesting because I also concentrate really well as well with music. So once I've had my dance and now I've done something amazing for myself, then I'll get to work. But when I'm working, I do also like to have some music. Now, one of the other questions I got was, why did I start podcasting? Why podcasting? I started doing this podcast in November 2019. And the reason I started doing it was because, as I say in the intro, I've grown up with a family of facades. What I mean is, I've grown up being so resilient and everybody being so happy that we just have to get on with it. We never really showed our pain, and it was almost like taught behaviour. And I feel it's a thing within the Black community as well, that you have this resilience, you get on with things, and you don't really show what's really going on for you because you don't need to. You just need to get on with your job. Whatever you're doing, you do it. You focus, you show a good face, you're kind to everybody, and you connect. But I was almost rebelling against that. And when I got to the stage that I wanted to just speak out, I felt like I didn't have a voice. And I suppose that's what this podcast is about. It's about, and the communication doctor as well, it's about connecting with your voice and connecting with what you've got to say. And it's kind of stepping out of that having to be resilient all the time and actually being powerful enough to stand up and say, hey, I'm feeling this, and accessing that there is power. And I'll say that again, that there is power in vulnerability, yeah? There is power and strength in it. And when people see your vulnerability, it's like people see your empathy and people connect with you, and it's okay to show that side of us, because as human beings, we are too. We are light and we are shade. And I also love, I can't remember the track now, when we talk about we're all sinners. We are all sinners, you know. We're on this world, we're trying to do the best that we can do, but we're not perfect beings. We are all imperfect beings. And when we kind of get with that we are imperfect, we can overcome all of our stuff in terms of, if you make a mistake, it's okay, because mistakes are really good and we can learn from our mistakes. And sometimes mistakes aren't even mistakes. Mistakes I see as lessons in life. Lessons that we can kind of push forward through, and lessons that we can learn from. When you look back and you smile at those lessons and those memories, and when you look deeper, you can see what you've learned from that. And when you're at that stage, it doesn't matter what anyone says to you, because people are always going to judge you. People are always going to criticize you, because that's what people do. But the difference is, if you kind of connect with self, you don't allow that to bother you, because you're more concerned about who you are, what you're inspired to do, what your purpose is, what you're going to give to the world. And you know in your heart who you are, you know. And I think that's what's important. If you know that you're a good person in your heart, that is what is important. And that's what I feel. I feel that I'm a good person. I have fun. I work with people. I've studied numerology. Also, I love looking at different personality types. I love connecting with people. And that's why I started Communication Doctor as well, and this podcast, because with Communication Doctor, what I do is I help people to open up that throat chakra, but I do it through psychodrama, because I feel there is power in drama. Yeah, there is power in being able to step into somebody else's shoes, because sometimes you can't always see yourself. You can't see what your impact is on another person. But when you're able to step into another person's shoes, then you can sometimes see, oh my God, I hurt that person, or I made that person feel good, or I made that person feel bad. But you can take responsibility for your actions, and then you can move forward and decide, okay, well, this is how I made them feel. Now I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to apologise. And also I'm going to forgive myself for what I've done. But it's always important to forgive yourself. And then you can connect and move forward. And I do all of this work, but I do it through creativity. I do it through opening up the throat chakra. on a one-to-one, on a 10-week program. But you can have a look at my website for more of that. This is not about, I'm not doing a marketing thing here. I'm just explaining what I'm about and what I'm doing, okay? Now, one of the next things, the last thing I'm going to talk about today is with coming back to communication, Doctor. The reason this is so powerful and such important work to me in terms of helping people to speak their truth is not just with regards to family, also with regards to my mother. I did lose my mum and my father as well. And when I lost mum, I found it really hard to listen to Jimmy Cliff. Couldn't listen to Jimmy Cliff at all. And then I had a kind of a revelation when I could listen to Jimmy Cliff. And I'm going to give you some of the lyrics from This Man Is So Powerful and from I Can See Clearly Now. So, I can see clearly now the rain has gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshining day. So eventually I decided to connect with the creativity and the healing of that song and to see the clarity and, as Jimmy Cliff says, to see clearly now. And to see clearly now is to do the work that I'm doing, is to help other people to see clearly, is to help people who are going through long-term absenteeism and they're coming out from that and they may have lost confidence or they're grieving, whatever they're going through, to help them to access their inner child, to unlock the creativity within, so they can come back to a sense of self and come back onto their path. And I do all of this, as I said, through psychodrama. So again, if you want to learn more, that's what I do. And then there's another track. I'm going to give you another track and to leave with. And if I did have the chance, if it wasn't for the problem of having to, you know, if you play a track, you're not allowed to play certain tracks with regards to the podcast. That's the only problem here. But one of my outro tracks would be Another Star. So I'm going to leave you with that, which is for you. There may be another star, but through my eyes, the light of you is all I see. For you, there might be another song, but all my heart can hear is your melody. Now that's my love for Stevie Wonder, and any of you that know that song, I just love the bongos in that track. You know, it's absolutely amazing. You just hear the bongos and you connect, and you know, it's also going to do a little salsa. And I just love it, love it. But also looking at those lyrics, you know, I feel like Stevie Wonder's singing to me and I'm that other star. And that lights me up and it makes me feel good about myself. And I want to kind of ask you or invite you to look up that track if you don't know it, Another Star. Listen to the music and feed off that energy of, you know, shining brightly. And, you know, everything is in this melody, all the connection, everything that is there is for you to them. So guys, I'm going to say thank you for listening to a very different Real Stories, but I thought it was important for me to do this Real Stories. I hope you enjoyed my journey through music and healing and my life story. I hope you enjoyed it. Take care. Adios.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more Real Stories, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you for listening.